भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः Okay, so we will begin chapter 7th, right? Already completed chapter 5th and 6th. ज्ञानदमेरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी विचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो चैप्टर 7th फर्दर इंक्वायरीज बाय विदुरा। So, Vidura placed number of inquiries in the beginning of 5th chapter, right? And then Maitreya Rishi, he answers some of the inquiries, right? Especially in relation to the Purushavataras and the process of creation, right? So, even before the previous inquiries are fully answered, Vidura puts more questions. You know, what he asked in beginning of 3.5 has not been fully answered yet, right? But whatever answers he gave, now there are questions related to that. So then you should understand these inquiries as kind of, in the beginning, kind of sub-inquiries, sub-questions, right? So you ask 5 questions, then answer 1 question. Within that 1 question, there could be further question, that one question answer is not fully clear. So then from that answer, you want to clearly understand that answer, you may ask further question related to the first inquiry. Right? So the activities of Purushavataras regarding this creation, how the soul is entangled. So he wants to further understand the position of the Supreme Lord and the living entity with regards to this material creation. So therefore he inquires further 7 sub-questions, right, to understand what he explained in what he already explained in 3.5 and 3.6, fine. So then 7 questions are about Ishvara and Jiva. Then basically, yeah, he in the 7 verses inquires. And then in the next 7 verses, Maitreya Rishi answers these sub-questions, whichever reason, in clarification of the answers already given in 3.5 and 3.6. Then Vidura shares his realizations. What he understood, he shares, right? And then he places further inquiries. Right? So now these inquiries of Vidura 21 to 38, so in this chapter, two times Viduraji is inquiring further. First inquiries are in clarification of the answers already given. Now, then there are further inquiries which are similar to Parikshit Maharaj inquiries in 2.8. Right? So when Shukdev Goswami said, I will answer what Vidurji also already inquired, you know. So here 21 to 38, there are these 18 questions which have a close resemblance with Maharaj Parikshit inquiries in 2.8. Right? So that's the chapter actually. Huh? Yes, so primarily these 18 questions, right? But some of the questions are there in the beginning of 3.5 also, so combined with that, fine. Okay, so we go to verse 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Bruvanam Maitreyam Vaipayana Suto Buddha Prinayan Iva Bharatya Vidura Pratyabhashata.
Sri Shukdev Goswami said, O King, while Maitreya, the great sage, was thus speaking, Vidura, the learned son of Dvaipayana Vyasa, expressed a request in a pleasing manner by asking this question.
Okay, so now Vidurji inquires, right? I said this will be like a sub-questions to clarify the answers about Purushavatara already given. Vidura Uvacha Brahman Katham Bhagavatas Chinmatrasya Vikarina Ilaya Chapi Yujiran Nirgunasya Guna Kriyaha.
Sri Vidura said, O great Brahmana, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the complete spiritual whole and is unchangeable, how is he connected with the material modes of nature and their activities? If this is his pastime, how do the activities of the unchangeable take place and exhibit qualities without the modes of nature?
Okay, so this is these are important questions. What is Lord's connection with this material world, right? And what is Jiva's connection with this material world, right? So this is the important thing, you know. So many philosophers speculate in so many ways. The Lord is pure spirit. This world is filled with ignorance, right? Lord is Satchidanand. This world is Asat, Achit, Niranand. Right? What is the connection between the two? And the Jiva also partakes the nature of Satchidanand, of the Lord, right? Then how is Jiva connected with this world? How does the Jiva suffer? So the relationship of this world with the Lord and the Jiva is have been speculated by so many people in so many ways. Right? So therefore Vidurji wants to clarify with Maitreya Rishi. Right? So Prabhupada says in the sixth line of the purport, By asking various questions about transcendental activities, Vidur is clearing the misconception that when the Lord either descends on earth in his incarnation or appear himself with all his potencies, he is too subjected to the influence of Maya. So some people think, yes, when he descends, then he is also under the influence of the external energy when he comes within the realm of this material universe, right? Which is all where everything is being governed by external energy, so the Lord also subjects himself. So the Prabhupada said, Vidurji wants to clarify this misconception. So Prabhupada says, this is generally the calculation of less intelligent philosophers. I said, so many philosophers have proposed so many theories. Further, the Lord is described in this verse as chin matra, or completely spiritual. The personality of Godhead has unlimited potencies to create and manifest wonderful things, both temporary and permanent. Because this material world is the creation of his external energy, and it thus appears to be temporary. It is manifested at certain intervals, manifested for some time, and again dissolved and conserved in his own energy. So one thing is there, as far as this material universe is concerned, it is created by the Lord's energies, it is maintained by his energies, it is conserved in his energies. Even when it is said that the Lord is doing, everything rests within the Lord. Right? There it indicates the non-difference of him from his energies. Mainly the energies of the Lord are at play in this material creation. So, whenever Krishna says, I does something in regard to creation, it should be understood, I do through my energies. You're getting the point? So, mainly the Prabhupada clarifies herein, right? Everything is finally rests in his energies. It is maintained. Prabhupada will say a number of times in the purports, it is created by him, it is maintained by him. Him means his energies. So in regards to this material universe, that is one important point. And then in the next paragraph, in the middle, Prabhupada says, the Lord is Sagun. In the middle of the next paragraph, the Lord is Sagun by his own internal potency, but at the same time he is Nirgun, since he is not in touch with the material energy. The restrictions of the prison house are applicable to prisoners who are condemned by the king's laws, but the king is never affected by such implications, although he may visit the prison house out of his goodwill. Okay. So one good analogy is there, how are living entities and the Supreme Lord related to this material world, like the prison minister and the prisoners are related to the prison. So living entities is actually encaged. The Lord comes by his free will and is never entrapped. Right? So that is one good example which explains the relation of both living entities and the Supreme Lord, this material world. Okay, so then Prabhupada says, little ahead, the very word chin matratva is the guarantee that the Lord activities are all transcendental, even when displayed in the material world. His activities are as good as the Supreme Personality himself, otherwise liberated devotees like Shukdev Goswami would not have attracted by them. So Prabhupada says, this word guarantees that his activities are all transcendental and never there is any material inability. The inability, again if you go ahead few lines, the inability of the material qualities is due to difference between the material body and the spirit soul. The conditioned soul activities are displayed through the medium of the modes of material nature and are therefore perverted in appearance. And conclusion, Prabhupada says, last line, the conclusion is that persons who consider the Lord activities material are certainly mistaken. So therefore, for such mistaken people, Vidurji is inquiring. Right? He is inquiring so that the conclusion may be further reinforced. Right? Like that. Yes.
When rice in the milk boils, it gets affected. So how is it that it remains unaffected? So similar kind of question for the jiva also he is raising.
So these questions have come multiple times. You know, what is the, how is the jiva affected? Although the jiva also partakes in Satchidananda, the Lord is Satchidananda, how are they influenced by? Or the Lord is still participating, he is there but is unaffected. Or some people say he is affected, how is the jiva? So these questions come often. So we'll discussing in the, this question will be answered in this chapter itself, right? So we'll discuss that part. Okay. So text 3. Kridaya mudyam arbhasya kamaschi kamas chikrishudantaya svatastriptasya chakatham nivrittasya sadanyata.
Boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire. But there is no possibility of such desire for the Lord because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times.
Okay, so basically the question here is the Lord, he has no desire. Why does he still create? Right? Somebody creates something because he has some desires. Lord has no desire, he is self-satisfied. Why does he create the whole cosmos? So Prabhupada says in the purport, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second, there is no possibility that anything besides him can exist. He expands himself by his energies in multi forms of self expansions and separated expansions as well. Just as a fire expands itself by heat and light. Since there is no other existence besides the Lord himself, the Lord's association with anything manifests his association with himself. Right? Maya tadam idam sarvam javat avyakta murtina matsani sarva bhutani achaham tesha vastitha. So Prabhupada says, the complete manifestation of the cosmic situation is an expansion of the Lord himself in his impersonal feature. All things are situated in him only, yet he is not in them. That is the opulence of the Lord's attachment and detachment. He is attached to everything, yet he is detached from all. Okay, so basically, the whole point is, Prabhupada makes striking point, he said, look, everything is expanded from him only. There nothing exists besides him. Jivas are his separated expansions. Material energy is his energy, right? Separated energy. So the whole thing is to understand the relative position of the Lord with his expansion and energies. Right? So there are multifarious energies, multifarious expansions. What is the relationship between them? What is their relative position? And what is their interaction? Right? So it's understanding that. You're getting the point? Right? So That's the understanding of the whole cosmic manifestation. Basically, in terms of expansion and energies, the whole thing is a play of the Lord expansion and energies. Entire cosmic manifestation is his either is expansion or energies, right? So we are studying that only, basically, right? In second, that what are the different expansions? What are the relative positions, right? So there are various, and how do they interact with various energies? Fine. No, technically also we are discussing what is the technical position of each energy of the Lord. Yes. 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 Right. So there's the question over here. Right? So the Lord has various energies. How is he connected with his various energies? Right? How he expands himself variously for the purpose of creation. So like that. So the Lord is, Prabhupada says here, that is the opulence of the Lord's attachment and detachment. So the Lord is just like, again, it example will be given. The sun rays are separate from the sun, but they are connected also. Right? The sun's rays are separate from the sun, but they are connected to the sun. Similarly, the degree of separation and connection is different of each energy. Right? So therefore, one has to see the position of various expansion energies. The relation of various expansion energies with the Lord, one has to see how much they are connected, how much they are disconnected. Right? How much they are near and how much they are separate. So the each has, one has to understand the position clearly. Fine? So it will become, so just I am just giving the idea that how we are going to study. Right? That how the Lord is both connected and disconnected. Right? But in some cases the connection is more and disconnection is less. For some other, in other cases of some expansion energies, the remoteness may be more, disconnection may be more, connection may be less. Right? So there is the whole panorama is there. There is a relation. What is how much is the Lord related? How much is disconnected, right? Some like that. So both connection and disconnection has to be understood. Yes. No, we'll discuss this. I am just giving the. We'll discuss this in detail also. I am just saying that we are going to study the Lord. How much is the connection and how much is the Lord not connected? That differs from each energy to energy, expansion to expansion. Yes.
Why Lord created that letter or no?
Why Lord?
Why Lord is self-satisfied, then why did he desire to create?
Yeah. So we will discuss that point.
Later or no?
No, only in this series of verses. Right? Okay, text 4. Asrakshit Bhagavan Vishwam Gunamayatma Mayaya Taya Samsthapyate Etat Bhuya Pratyabhidhasyati.
By his self-sheltered potency of the three modes of material nature, the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By her, he maintains the creation and conversely dissolves it again and again.
Right? So here also it is being said, through his energy the Lord is maintaining. Through his energy the Lord dissolves it. Through his energy the Lord creates. Right? So the energies of the Lord are at play. Okay. Okay, so anyway, Prabhupada answers that in the purport, you know, why although there is no desire, why does he still create? So Prabhupada answers that in the purport of text 4. This material world is not for the purpose of the Lord Himself, but is for the conditioned souls who wanted to be controllers due to misuse of their God-gifted minute independence. Okay, so for the purpose of the conditioned soul He creates. That will also be further discussed. Deshata kalato yosa vastata svato annyata avilupta vabhodatma sayujyeda jaya katham.
The pure soul is pure consciousness and is never out of consciousness, either due to circumstances, time, situation, dreams or other causes. How then does he become engaged in nisance?
Okay, so the soul is always pure. So how does it becomes engaged in nisance? And it is never out of consciousness also. Right? Thus, pure soul is always conscious and is always purely conscious. But it never becomes unconscious due to circumstance, time, situation, dreams and other causes. Right? Then how it becomes engaged in nisance? Right? This is also a important question. So Prabhupada says in the purport, that when a living entity moves from one place to another, the second line, he is conscious that he has changed his position. He is always present in the past, present and future like electricity. One can remember incidents from the past and conjecture about his future also on the basis of his past experience. So Prabhupada says, he never forgets his personal identity even though he is placed in awkward circumstances. In this material world, the change in the position of a living entity, he doesn't forget his identity even if he is in awkward position. Right? Every person goes through happiness, distress, but he remembers his past, present, future. Right? But how then can the living entity become forgetful of his real identity? But actually, in our experience, if whatever person identity has in this world, in various situations he doesn't forget his identity. Maybe awkward situation, whatever, he remembers his identity. But the living entity has forgotten his identity. His relationship with the Lord, right? His true identity. So how does that happen? It's also a surprising question. How does the living entity forgets his identity completely? Right? So, and forgets his pure identity and identify with matter unless influenced by something beyond himself. So Prabhupada is saying, how can it happen that the living entity forgets his real identity and wrongly identify unless it is influenced by something beyond himself? Right? So then Prabhupada answers that also over herein. The conclusion is that the living entity is influenced by the avidya potency. So this forgetfulness is by the Lord's potency. Right? Potency or energy, the same thing. So the Lord energy acts and makes the living entity totally forgetful of his real identity. And that avidya potency or energy of the Lord makes a living entity feel that it's a product of matter. Right? So that's an important point over herein. So for the living entity's conditional existence, Lord's avidya potency is acting. Right? Otherwise, see, that's what this potency is created by the Lord for facilitating the living entity's desire to be become the Lord. The living, if my identity is to be servant always, right? Then how do I lord it over the material nature? Yes. Yes. He facilitates, and then when the there is a facility when the living entity wants to revive, to understand, living entity wants to take us one step ahead, then there is a facility by the Lord. Right? So similar is always there. The government imprisons a criminal, but then if someone really wants to be go out, then they speeden up the process, right? They give him responsibility within the prison, etc. You know, so even the government can facilitate his coming out of the prison faster, right? So the government only imprisons, but they create that every criminal can rectify as soon as possible. So that way it's there. Fine. So therefore, avidya potency of the Lord makes the living entity completely forget his personal identity, which otherwise the living entity's desire to be independent Lord would not be facilitated unless influenced by this potency. Yes.
Here it is mentioned that a pure soul never comes out of consciousness either by circumstances, time, situation, or dreams or other causes.
Yeah.
But in the previous chapter, where the manifestation of universe was happening, there it was mentioned that when Mahatattva, as a devta, when it manifested the consciousness of all the living beings. So there it felt to be that all the living beings, when they were in the Garbhodakshay Vishnu or Mahavishnu, that time their consciousness was zero, and when they entered, then consciousness manifested. In the verse it's mentioned like that.
Yeah, so see, never zero, it's a to different degrees it manifests. It lies dormant over there, but the conscience is there, individual consciousness is there, right? It lies dormant, and then to different degrees the consciousness manifests, right? Fine, so that Prabhupada also explains in one of the purports that it's to various degrees. Even in various species of life, the consciousness is manifest to a different degree. In one sense, the consciousness is there, right? So there you can't say zero, but it lies dormant. But then that consciousness again manifests when the Lord facilitates. Fine. Well, let's go through some of these verses, then it will probably become more clear. Okay, so let's go through the verses. You can again ask the questions after verse 14th. You know, let Maitreya complete also his answers, 8 to 14. Then you can ask some more questions. Okay. So then Prabhupada says, the potent can exhibit, again I'm reading from the purport, the potent can exhibit many potencies, but the potency cannot equal the potent at any stage. In the last three lines, the living entity cannot be forgetful of his real identity unless influenced by the avidya potency. Because the living entity is prone to the influence of the avidya potency, he can never equal to the supreme potent. Right? So there's one difference between the Lord and the living entity. The living entity is prone to the avidya potency. Text 6. Bhagavan eka evesha, evesha sarva kshetresu vistita amushya durbhagatvam va kalesho va karma bhir kalesho va karma bhikutah.
The Lord, as the super soul, is situated in every living being's heart. Why then do the living entity's activities result in misfortune and misery?
Right? So, he said, the Lord is there within every living entity's heart. Right? This is again, so many people raise this question. The Lord is there within everyone's heart. Why the living entity's activity result in misfortune and misery? Right? Bhagavan karte kyun nahi kuch? Why the Lord doesn't do, why doesn't he do something about living entities, misery and misfortune? Right? That question is very pertinent. So Prabhupada is saying in the sixth or seventh line, a citizen of the state may be in miseries for want of sufficient supervision by the state authority. But how can it be possible that a citizen suffers from other citizens while the chief of the state is personally present? Right? The Lord is present himself, somehow the police force is not sufficient, there is not sufficient supervision, then, some other citizen may trouble somebody else. But the chief is present with everyone. Right? Then how can still there be misfortune and misery? That is the question. Okay, so we go to text 7. Etasmin me mano vidvan khiddate jnana sankate jnana sankate tanna paranudo vibho kashmalam manasam mahat.
O great and learned one, my mind is greatly illusioned by the distress of this nuisance, and I therefore request you to clear it up.
Right, so such mental bewilderment as represented here by Vidura takes place for some living entities, but not for everyone. For if everyone were bewildered, there would be no possibility of a solution for higher personalities. Text 8. Shri Shuka Uvacha Saitham Chodita Shatra Tatva Jigya Shunamuni Shunamuni Pratyaha Bhagavachitta Smayan Iva Gata Smaya.
Shri Shukdev Goswami said, O King, Maitreya being thus agitated by the inquisitive Vidura at first seemed astonished, but then he replied to him without hesitation, since he was fully God conscious.
Okay. So, Vishnu Thakur says, thinking of how to resolve these questions, Maitreya remembered the Lord. Bhagavat Chitta, right? So he Pratyaha Bhagavat Chitta. Then he got the answers. Externally acting surprised, he seemed to say, oh, these are difficult doubts to resolve. However, he had actually resolved the doubts. Right? So Prabhupada says, therefore, although as a devotee, he externally expressed surprise as if he did not know how to reply to those questions, he immediately became perfectly settled and properly replied to Vidura. Anyone who is a devotee of the Lord knows about the Lord to some extent, and devotional service to the Lord makes him able to know everything by the grace of the Lord. Okay? So therefore, he remembered the Lord, with devotion, and by the Lord's mercy, he will be able to answer, right? By the grace of the Lord. So a devotee may know to some extent, but then he may be able to know everything here. Everything means everything that the law he needs to know, or everything that the Lord wants him to know. Right? So by the grace of the Lord will reveal everything that is needed for him at that particular point of time. Right? To advance further. Okay, so Maitreya Rishi, he begins answering. Maitreya Uvacha Seyam Bhagavato Maya Yannayena Virudhyate ishvarasya vimuktasya karpanyam utabandhanam.
Sri Maitreya said, certain conditioned souls put forward the theory that the Supreme Brahman or the Personality of Godhead is overcome by illusion or Maya, and at the same time they maintain that he is unconditioned. This is against all logic.
Okay, so we're saying that so many people, most of the theories are self-contradicting, most of the false theories, you know, find there are so many contradictions. They accept that the Lord is Ishwarasya Vimuktasya, is always unconditioned, is always free. But then they also say that when he comes to this material world, he is influenced by the external energy. Right? So he is pointing at the self-contradicting false theories. Right? Actually you will find that most of the false theories, they have a self-contradiction in them, which one of the self-contradiction is being pointed out by Maitreya Rishi. Right? Okay, so Prabhupada points out herein. Prabhupada says, sometimes it appears that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is 100% spiritual, cannot be the cause of illusory potency which covers the knowledge of the individual soul. But factually, there is no doubt that the illusory external energy is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Few lines ahead. Why the external energy acts in this way may be considered as follows. So Prabhupada says, Vishwanath Thakur and Srila Jeev Goswami has analyzed. Right? Although the material illusory energy is distinct from the spiritual energy, it is one of the many energies of the Lord, and thus the material modes of nature are surely qualities of the Lord. Okay, so material modes of nature, anyway, this is, so we are discussing that how even this, the main objection taken by some philosophers is, how can this external illusory energy which creates bewilderment, how is that also part of him? You know, how is that also part of him? How can that be part of him? Right? So Prabhupada says, no, that is part of him. That is part of him. Right? Basically, the demons are also part and parcel of Supreme Lord. Right? So how can demons be? They fight against the Lord. Also is part and parcel. Right? So some people may raise the question, no, that demon is separate from, you know, or the devil is separate from the divine Lord. Right? In Christianity, they don't assume that the devil is part and parcel. So devil is separate, has his own separate existence. Right? But here, said there is no separate existence of anyone or, you know, anything in this world apart from the Supreme Lord. So therefore this energy which bewilders, right, which torments the living entities in this material creation, is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Right? That is difficult to reconcile for many philosophers. So therefore, Prabhupada brings that point first in the purport. Right? So also the three modes. What are the qualities of the Lord? What are the qualities of the Lord? Basically, Satchidananda, right? So, if you see, so these three modes, Prabhupada gives that they are also the qualities of the Lord. They are perverted qualities of the Lord. In this material world, that Satchidananda qualities, the three modes, three gunas, the three gunas bind all the conditioned souls. Everyone is conditioned by this perverted qualities which belong to in the pure form to the Lord. Right? So in one sense, if you see, the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, right, they are related to the Satchidananda. Right? So in the reverse order, Sat feature actually of the Lord, the perverted reflection of that is the mode of ignorance, right? And then, so the whole cosmic manifestation is emanating from that. We can see that. Then, chit feature of the Lord is related to the passion. When it is perverted, its mode of passion in this world. And anand feature of the Lord, when perverted, it is mode of goodness. Right? So the three qualities which bind everyone, which are perverted, is asat, achit and niran, right? The three modes, they are related with the original quality, Satchidananda, of the Lord. Right? That Prabhupada indicates over here. And if you see, Prabhupada very clearly says the material modes of the nature are surely qualities of the Lord. What are these three modes? They are perverted qualities of Satchidananda, actually. Right? So if you see, in the goodness, some knowledge is perceived. Right? So therefore, in the goodness, some knowledge is also perceived and some happiness is also perceived. Right? And in passion also there is a knowledge, right? People try to all this technology and all that in a passionate way, right? So some perverted reflection of Lord Chit feature is connected with the passion, and Sat feature is connected with the ignorance, right? In a perverted way, like that. Or even that day, Nimalila Prabhu was saying how the Sandhani, Samvit, and Haladini potencies, their perverted reflection of the three modes. So if you see, all the connection is there, right? Because material world is a perverted reflection. Fine, so like that, so we'll go ahead. It's a little technical subject matter. So then Prabhupada further, after 5-6 lines, says, Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishnu Thakur, however, offer the very nice example in explanation. They say, although the sun is all light, the clouds, darkness and snowfall are all part and parcel of the sun. Without the sun, there is no possibility of the sky being overcast with cloud or darkness, nor there can be snowfall on the earth. Right? So it's difficult to reconcile how, you know, the sun and the cloud seems to be opposite. The Maya and the Krishna seems to be opposite. But the clouds are part and parcel of the sun. Here the darkness we can understand as shadows. At another place they explain shadow. In the shadow there is darkness. What causes shadow? Sun. But in shadow there is darkness. So therefore darkness which is opposite to light, so the darkness, that shadow is also creation of the sun. Right? And then the snow. Right? The snow is also creation of the sun. Where the sun is the source of heat and light, snow is, you know, very cold. Right? Opposite nature. So the Maya has a different opposite nature, but it's still part and parcel. So therefore one has to, by this example, one has to reconcile that how the shadow, right, the clouds and the snow, which are opposite to the nature of the sun, are also created by the sun only. Right? So it's a very good example given. But when these clouds which are created by the sun, or the shadow created by the sun, blocks the sun rays and not the sun. So therefore, living entities are compared to the rays of the sun. So the rays of the sun are subjected to the clouds, to the snowfall, to the shadow, right? The rays of the sun are blocked. These energies of the Lord, right, clouds, shadows and snowfall, they can't affect the sun, but they can affect his energy, the living entity. So a part of the sun rays can be affected by. So one energy of the Lord may predominate over another energy, but none of the energies can predominate Supreme Lord. Right? So therefore we are studying the various relative position of his energies now, right, in this purport. So Prabhupada just further explains the next paragraph. There is no reason to assert that the Supreme Brahman is overpowered by the illusory energy. The clouds, darkness and snowfall can cover only a very insignificant portion of the sun rays. Similarly, the modes of material nature may react upon the ray-like living entities. It is the misfortune of the living entity certainly not without reason, that the influence of the material energy acts on his pure consciousness and eternal bliss. Okay, so Prabhupada talks a lot about the froggish philosophers in this chapter. Previous chapters also, a lot of times. Right? Froggish, Prabhupada says froggish philosopher, right? He used this term a lot of times. Here also in this purport, if you see toward the, in the middle of this, not in the middle, little ahead, right? In the second paragraph, the froggish philosophers who put forward the argument that the Supreme Lord is overpowered by the material mode of goodness are themselves illusioned by the same energy, right? Although they think of themselves as liberated soul. They support their argument by false and laborious jugglery of words, which is a gift of the same illusory energy of the Lord. So those who talk that the Lord is overpowered by illusion or illusory energy, they are themselves speaking under that energy. Right. Yeah, the Prabhupada said this covering, this covering of the pure consciousness and eternal bliss, we are going back where we read. Prabhupada says it is the misfortune of the living entity, certainly not without reason. This is just in the beginning of the second paragraph, what we already read. That the influence of the material energy acts on his pure consciousness and eternal bliss. This covering up of pure consciousness and eternal bliss is due to avidya karma samagya. The energy which acts on the infinitesimal living entities who misuse their minute independence. Avidya, this is used by the Lord, this term in Bhagavad Gita, right? There are the three energies of the Lord, and the third is this avidya karma samagyaya tritiya shakti. This is the Vishnu Puran verse or Bhagavad Gita verse? I think Vishnu Puran verse, avidya karma samagyaya, right? Tritiya shakti ishyate. Yeah, so this avidya, which influences all the living entities and subjects them to karma, right? Yeah, so Vishnu Shaktir Para Prokta, that verse is there of Vishnu Puran. In that verse, this line comes, Avidya Karma Samagyaya, Tritiya Shakti, the three energies of the Lord. Right? The living entities who are subject to Avidya, the living entities who are performing various fruitive activity is subject to the avidya, the illusory potency. Right? So the Lord Vishnu has these three shaktis. The parashakti is there, the living entity, and the illusory energy, which causes this avidya. Right? So this is that phrase is used over here. At other places also Prabhupada used this phrase, avidya karma samagya. Okay. Fine, so we go to next verse. Yadarthena vinamushya pumsa atma viparaya pritayata upadrashtu soshiras chedanadika.
The living entity is in distress regarding his self-identity. He has no factual background, like a man who dreams that he sees his head cut off.
Okay, so after explaining the position of the Lord, now he talks about the position of the living entities. So the living entities is in distress because of his identity crisis. Identity crisis. The living entity is misidentifying itself, and that is the reason for his undergoing all the misfortune and misery. Right? So the word viparya is used, pumsa atma viparya. The living entity is totally 180 degree opposite is identifying. Forgetting its real identity, the living entity has got a totally opposite identification. Living entity is purely spirit soul, but now it is identifying with matter. Right? Opposite one, viparya. Viparya means exactly the opposite of what is the real thing. Right? There is another verse, 11 to 37, which says, Bhayam dutiya bhinivesheta syad, ishad apetasya viparyo smriti. Again, the word viparya is used. Because of totally opposite conception, totally opposite identification of what the actual fact is, the living entity actually, that is the cause of living entity's misery and misfortune. Right? So that is being discussed. So, what is the opposite thing? The living entity is the servant of the Lord, but opposite conception is the living entity is trying to become enjoyer. Right? It's purely spiritual, but identifying with matter. Right? So in this way, the living entity is in a situation of atma viparaya, an important word. So therefore, the example given over here is that a person in the dream sees that his head has been cut off. Right? So Prabhupada explained that. A teacher in school once threatened his pupil that he would cut off the pupil's head and hang it on the wall so that the child could see how his head has been cut off. Right? Prabhu said the child became frightened and stopped his mischief. Right? So Prabhu, such a thing is not possible. You can't see your own head cut off and hanging on the wall. Right? Then you won't be able to see. If the head is cut off, then who will see the head being cut off? But the living entity is suffering is like a person in a dream seeing that his head has been cut off and he's seeing his head been cut off. Right? Right? So that is like the suffering of the living entity. So that analogy is given over here. So, we'll discuss that point. We'll discuss that point. So Prabhupada says 3-4 lines ahead, the first paragraph itself. Actually, there is no bondage or misery of the living entity, nor does he ever lose his pure knowledge. In his pure consciousness, when he thinks a little seriously about his position, he can understand that he is eternally subordinate to the mercy of the Supreme. Right? So actually, Prabhupada says there is no bondage or misery of the living entity. I'll read some more lines and we'll discuss. So the next paragraph, then Prabhupada explained this analogy. And the conclusion, the last 7-8 lines. The conclusion is that a living entity deprived of eternal transcendental service to the Lord becomes illusioned in many ways. Even in his conditional life, he is eternal servant of the Lord. His servitude under the spell of illusory maya is also a manifestation of the eternal condition of service. Right? So the point is, the 3 words are used in the to describe the suffering of a living entity, that the suffering of the living entity, basically it is due to ignorance. Factually, the spirit soul is not suffering, but the experience of the suffering is factual. Okay, so that you have to understand and reconcile. A little deliberation. The example of dream is very suitable. In the dream, there is no factual suffering because of misidentification. I may misidentify, I'm in a place and, you know, my head has been cut off or a lion is attacking me and killing me. Because I have misidentified myself, right? If it's a dream body and I'm being killed in the dream and I suffer, so actually for the person who is dreaming, there is no actual suffering. But still, due to misidentification, there is experience of suffering because that person may be sweating, may be shouting. So the factually there is no suffering for the living entity, but still the living entity is experiencing the suffering. The experience is factual. Because there is a misidentification, there is a suffering. Right? So the, if you contemplate with the dream experience, it makes the point. Right? Actually, even a better analogy to understand the suffering of a living entity is people are seeing, go to the cinema hall. Right? Their hero has been killed. Even if they know that the hero is still living, they still cry. They still suffer. You know, somebody may say, I will not go from here, you know. Somebody say, no, get up, come on, you know, the show is over. No, I'm feeling so much pain of the heart. Right? So what is the suffering? You know, so in a movie, his favorite hero has been killed. The hero is still there, but he is suffering because of his identification. You know, my favorite hero has been killed. It is a suffering due to it's a own created suffering. There is no factual suffering. The living entity creates suffering because of his own ignorance, own misidentification. Right? So many people, they suffer. You know, I've seen sometimes, or they laugh, or they celebrate, right? Some people come and they start, firecrackers. They may see a movie and they may burn firecrackers. They say, what has happened? You know, my hero has become victorious, right? So it's all created by the living entity, right? There is no factual happiness over there. There is no factual suffering. He simply imagines his suffering. He simply imagines he is rejoicing. So the whole, right, it's due to the misidentification that happens. But the misidentification is not as simplistic as in a dream. Because, see, one is you say, okay, usko laat maro, uthao sapne se. You know, kick him, bringing out of the dream, and he is awake. So it is, therefore, the misidentification is so strong, it's anadi. It is caused by the energy of the Lord. It is just as simplistic misunderstanding as a dream. So the dream shows that there is no factual thing. It is due to ignorance and misidentification the living entity suffers. Only dream analogy gives you that. But the living entity illusion is not like just like a dream. Because the dream, you just can wake up a person and it's gone. The living entity is bound by the avidya potency of the Lord. And only by the Lord's mercy he can be released. It's not that you just kick him and he is no self-realized. Right? Even the Maya is kicking at every moment, no one becomes self-realized. Unless the Lord releases that avidya potency, right? There is no self-realization, there is no waking up. So therefore, if the misidentification only, and it's like illusion, you know, if you say the suffering is the illusion, then what will be the meaning of the whole process of devotional service? Then you said, then that becomes meaningless. You understand the point? So we should not, from the dream example, we have to only take the one point, that the misidentification, the ignorance is the cause. And then see, but the bondage of the living entity is not illusory. It is real. The suffering is, the experience of suffering is real, but there is no factual suffering because it is caused due to ignorance, the misidentification. It can be removed. It can be removed at any point of time as soon as the living entity turns toward the Lord. By the mercy of the Lord, immediately the living entity, all suffering can vanquish because it is not a factual suffering. It doesn't pertain to the spirit soul. Right? So it can be removed. But not just like that. So there is a whole process, because the energy of the Lord is causing that misidentification. The binding is caused by the energy of the Lord. Right? So therefore, the energy of the Lord has covered over the real knowledge of the living entity. Has has caused this misidentification, and only by taking shelter of the Lord he can remove the misidentification. Right? So therefore this is the whole process. Right? Fine, so yes.
So this understanding of a living entity situation being in a dream in itself is not sufficient for one to get liberated.
Understand to some extent his situation in the what is suffering, only the one point, it's suffering is not factual. There is no factual cause for his suffering basically. See, his experience of suffering is factual, but there is no factual cause for his suffering. Simply ignorance, misidentification. That's the point. Yeah.
If one realizes that he is in ignorance and he is only imagining the suffering, So this knowledge in itself cannot liberate a person from the clutches, right? What is the use of this knowledge then?
No, the whole point is only when there is a realization of his real position, then he will be able to, come out of it. Then he will be able to come out of it. So there is simply just knowing will not help him. Right? Simply knowledge will not help him. Unless he realizes his real position, right? That he is fixed in the realization of his real position, till then he will be suffering. Right? Merely theoretical knowledge will not help. So the knowledge means the realization of that knowledge. Right? So just like I previously also said that one person said, said giving up smoking so easy, I gave it up many times. Right? So like that, He said, so easy, I'll give up so many times I've given it up. Right? So that's all the living entity thinks, in that sense, it remains entrapped. So like that. Okay, so more examples are coming. There are much more discussion on this in the verses ahead. Text 11. Yatha jale chandramasa kampadis tatkrito guna dishyate asannapi drashtur Atmano natmano guna.
As the moon reflected on water appears to the seer to tremble due to being associated with the quality of the water, so the self associated with matter appears to be qualified as matter.
Okay, another analogy is given here that the moon appears to be quivering with the quality of water. So the soul, when it identifies with the matter, it is affected by the qualities of the matter. Right? The soul, because of misidentification, it is affected. Right? So like that. So this is also a good example, right? We see the reflection of the moon quivering when the water is quivering. But actually the moon is steady. Right? The moon is steady. So therefore Prabhupada gives very beautiful lessons. The Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead, is compared to the moon in the sky, and the living entities are compared to the reflection of the moon in the water. Actually the original moon in the sky, the moon reflected in water, should not also quiver. The moon is not quivering, so the reflection should not quiver. But because of associated with water, the reflection appears to be quivering. Okay? So Prabhupada says, similarly, now, there are five nice points made in the Purport. One by one, we'll just quickly discuss. Similarly, the living entity appears to be tainted by material qualities like illusion, lamentation, and miseries. Although in the pure soul, such qualities are completely absent. Right? Then, The reflection of the moon on the water is the separated rays of the moon and not the actual moon. The separated part and parcel of the Lord entangled in the water of material existence have the quivering quality. Very, Prabhupada puts very philosophically, right? Very profound words. The separated parts and parcel of the Lord entangled in the water of material existence have the quivering quality. Whereas the Lord is like the actual moon in the sky, which is not at all in touch with the water. Lord doesn't quiver. He is not affected by the qualities of the waters of this material existence. Then the third point Prabhupada makes, 5-6 lines ahead. In fact, the light of the sun and the moon are actually different from the sun and moon themselves, although they are always connected. So the light is always connected to the sun and the moon, but that light rays quiver. Right? The reflection quivers, not the sun and the moon. Right? So first the position of the living and the Supreme Lord is described. He is fixed. The reflection, the living entity is like the reflection, reflected, right? That moon reflecting in the water, that quiver. And Prabhupada says, they are connected also. It's not that they are totally separate. The third point that Prabhupada made, the light is connected always, but it is separate simultaneously. Then the fourth point Prabhupada says, the light of the moon on the Taj Mahal appears to be more beautiful than the same light in wilderness. Right? So therefore, you know that there are different positions of the living entity. Right? Someone says, oh, he has received so much mercy of the Lord. Right? You have shown him so much mercy. Prabhupada said, my mercy is there available for everyone. Who? It's dependent on the recipient who takes it up. Right? So we see the different status of living entities is due to their receptivity of the Lord's mercy. As Prabhupada gives example of light on the Taj Mahal appears to be more beautiful than the same light in wilderness. Wilderness means just the, you know, any just, there is no, nothing over there, right? Desert, you know, kind of. There's a fourth point. And the fifth point Prabhupada makes, the quivering quality of the moon is also variable. When the water is standing still, there is no quivering. A more settled conditioned soul quivers less due to material connection with quivering quality. But due to material connection, the quivering quality is more or less present everywhere. So then different living entities are differently quivering. Quivering is not the same. Right? Those are mode of goodness, they are less quivering. The mode of passion or ignorance makes a person more quiver. Right? So Prabhupada says that the quivering quality of the reflected moon is different. Right? It's variable, it's not the same for all living entities. So that is the fifth point Prabhupada makes. Okay, we go to text 12. Savanivritta dharmena vasudevanukampaya bhagavad bhakti yogena tirodhattesha nairiha.
But that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Vasudev, through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of detachment.
Okay, so now this waking up of the living entity, coming out of the misconception, is possible by only Vasudev Anukampaya. Mercy of the Lord is needed. Right? Otherwise it's not possible. The Lord says, Prakriti Esha Gunamai Mam Vaya Durataya. No one by their own effort can actually overcome this ignorance or vidya potency, because it is caused by the potency of the Lord. Right? So the ignorance or misconception, right, it's caused by the real energy. The illusion is caused by the real energy of the Lord. Right? We are in illusion, right, thinking our conception of light is Atma Viparaya, but it is caused by the real energy. right? So therefore you have to understand this whole thing, right? So therefore it's not, so therefore the bondage is not illusory. The real energy of the Lord is binding. The bondage is not illusory. And therefore the whole process is required to free a living entity from the bondage. The Yes. The energy of the Lord is real and it produces illusion. Right. And one can also have some illusion and be situated in reality. Right? This is like real energy causing illusion. There could be illusory phenomena which may cause, which may connect us to reality. An example of that? Right? Yeah, kind of. Right? So it's a Prabhupada says is the form of the Lord we are imagining. But that imagination connects us to reality. Right? Even a more vivid example is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would see any hill, he would think it's Govardhan. Right? Vanadekhe mane hai, ehi Vrindavan, shala dekhe mane hai, ehi Govardhan. Right? You see any one, oh, this is Vrindavan. I said, what is this? You know, it's not Vrindavan, it's illusion. But Vrindavan is connecting him to reality, the supreme reality. Any hill he would think of Govardhan. Right? So therefore, even this illusory, you know, manifestations, when properly applied, you know, they connect us to reality. And the real energy of the Lord is causing the illusion. Right? So it's a material world is a complex phenomena. Right? So it's like that. So therefore, because the bondage of the living entity is caused by the real energy, one needs the mercy of the Lord to be freed from it. Right? Fine? And that mercy is obtained by Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena, by serving the Lord, that mercy is obtained. Right? So, as Prabhupada says in the fifth or sixth line, as discussed in the first canto, because the application of devotional service to Lord Vasudev invites pure knowledge, it quickly detaches from the material conception of life and thus revives one's normal condition of spiritual existence, even in this life, and frees one from the material winds which cause one to quiver. Right? So the bhakti brings knowledge and detachment. Right? So that pure knowledge and helps him to get free from the misidentification and give him the right identification. And the detachment causes him to become free from the material winds which cause him to quiver. Right? So one is the knowledge and detachment. By knowledge, his positive relation with the Supreme Lord is being established. By detachment, he is becoming free from his relation to the material world. So how this is how knowledge and detachment are acting. Right? So detachment helps him to become free from the illusory relationship, right? And free from the material miseries. And knowledge gives him the knowledge of positive relationship, and that is being established. So the nourishment begins. And his misfortune and misery is being cut off. So both knowledge and detachment, one is acting positively, one is destroying the negativity. Right? Yeah. Destroying the illusion. Yes, the you are saying destroying the illusion is knowledge. Yeah, knowledge is knowledge destroys the illusion. Yeah. But knowledge is not just simply destroying the illusion. Here the knowledge is establishing his pure connection to the Lord also. Right? Okay, so then Prabhupada in this purport of 12 also talks about that if one wants to acquire the last three, four lines, if one wants to acquire the mercy of the Lord, he has to associate with pure devotees. Such association alone can by degrees release one from the quivering elements. Okay, text 13. Yadendriyo paramotha drishtratmani pare haro viliyante tadaklesha sam suptasseva krishnasa.
When the senses are satisfied in the seer, super soul, the personality of Godhead, and merge in him, all miseries are completely vanquished as after a sound sleep.
Okay, so the process is described over here to become free from the quivering, to come out of the misidentification of the dream. What is the process? Let the senses be satisfied in the service of master of the senses. Right? So that now the process is given in this verse. Then all the miseries end. Right? So again, Prabhupada says the quivering of the living entity as described above is due to the senses. Right? And the senses, Prabhupada says, are engaged in material activities, so therefore they cause the quivering of the steady soul. Therefore, these senses are to be detached from all such material activities. But the senses have to function. Therefore, they have to have a right engagement. Right? And then analogy is given this purport of Prabhupada says, artificially stopping a mischievous child is not the real remedy. It cannot be effective also, right? If the child is very active, you just can't make the child inert. Right? You have to find some superior engagement for the child. Right? People nowadays give the mobile phone to the child. Right? And the child is quiet, playing with the mobile phone, some game, this, that. That is not a superior engagement, but that's like, it's just somehow, give him some engagement, It's only destroys his mental equilibrium in one sense. But the analogy is you can't stop a child from acting. You have to give him some superior engagement if you want to take him out of the nefarious activities. So that example is given. So therefore, the process of engaging the senses in the service of the master of the senses. And then Prabhupada quotes, how it can be done in the purport also Prabhupada quotes. Right? There is a verse by King Kulshekhar. Or Ambarish Maharaj, Sarve Mana Krishna Padar Vinde, or the mind should begin lotus feet of the Lord, the hand doing a service, the feet for going to the holy places, the tongue to taste the prasadam, like that, right? So various, Prabhupada talks about that in the purport. So the last of this series, and then we'll take a break. Ashesha Sanklesha Samam Vidhatte Guna Anuvada Shavanam Murare Kimva Punasta Charanaravinda Paraga Sevarati Ratma Labdha.
Simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc. of the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet?
Okay, so in the end, he is recommending Gunanuvada Shravanam Murare, that one hear and chant about Ashesha Sanklesha Simam Vidhatte. Right? There are unlimited kleshas, miserable condition, but they all will be, one will become free from all by glorifying the Supreme Lord, right? By hearing His qualities, transcendental name form, etc. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained perfection for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? Right? So, I will just discuss this verse. We'll take a break and then we'll discuss a little bit about this verse and then we'll go ahead. Fine? Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, so text 14 we were discussing. So, the simply by the process of hearing and chanting, one will be able to overcome the misidentification by the mercy of the Lord and also will be able to put an end to Ashesha Sanklesha, right? The unlimited material miserable conditions. And so Prabhupada just describes the two paths. Prabhupada says the fifth line, two most popular methods, the path of devotional service, the path of jnana and the path of bhakti. Out of this, Prabhupada says the path of bhakti is the best and that is recommended by Maitreya Muni. And then Prabhupada further described that are the path of bhakti. The first stage is sadhana bhakti and then later the second stage is raga bhakti. Right? So therefore, in the first two lines he is indicating sadhana bhakti, then kimva punastha charanarvinda paraga seva ratir atma labdha. That is indicated when a person achieves natural attraction, raga bhakti. Paraga seva ratir atma labdha. So the sadhana bhakti in the first two lines and the raga bhakti in the next two lines is indicated. Text 15. Vidura uvacha sanchinna samshayo mahiyam shuktasina tava shuktasina vibho ubhayatra api bhagavan mano me sam pradhavati.
Vidura said, O powerful sage, my Lord, all my doubts about the personality of Godhead and the living entities have now been removed by your convincing words. My mind is now perfectly entering into them.
Okay, so now Vidurji, those questions which he asked about living entity, Supreme Lord, relation to the material energy, that have been answered and he is sharing his heartfelt realization. That's the third section which we are discussing. First section was his inquiries, sub-questions. And next seven verses in Maitreya answered that. Now in this six verses, 15 to 20, he congratulates Maitreya or he shares his realization, kind of. So Prabhupada says, the science of Krishna or the science of God and the living entity is so subtle that even a personality like Vidura has to consult person like the sage Maitreya. Doubts about the eternal relationship of the Lord and the living entity are created by mental speculators in different ways. The conclusive fact is that the relationship of God and the living entity is one of the predominator and the predominated. Text 16. Sadhu etad vyahritam vidvan Natma maya yanam hare abhatiya partham nirmulam vishvamulam nayad bahi.
O learned sage, your explanations are very good, as they should be. Disturbances to the conditioned soul have no other basis than the movement of the external energy of the Lord.
Okay. Okay, so now he summarizes. That you spoke so nicely, right? He is now giving his understanding what he has understood, right? So there were three words which describes the nature of jiva suffering. Very important. Now Vidurji is giving his second understanding, saying the jiva suffering is what? Abhate, apartham, and nirmulam. Abhate means he is only imagining, appears, the living entity appears to be suffering, just like the reflection appears to be quivering, right? Apartham, it is without meaning, because the soul is not affected. Soul is never affected, right? Therefore, it's without meaning. The nirmulam, it has no basis. There is no factual cause, no factual basis other than living entity's ignorance. Right? Of course, the ignorance is caused by the energy we discussed. Right? Therefore, considering these three terms, that it, the living entity appears to be suffering, which is apartham, which has no meaning, because which doesn't affect the living entity, and nirmulam, there is no factual cause other than ignorance. With the three words, we understand that the nature of the suffering of the living entity. Abhati, apartham, nirmulam. Right? So therefore, very nice summarization, right? Vidurji does in his own words. 17. Yascha mudatamo loke, yascha buddhe param gatah, tavubho sukham medhete, klishyate antarito jana.
Both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoy happiness, whereas persons between them suffer the material pangs.
Okay, so now Vidurji is saying both the lowest of the fools and who is transcendental to all intelligence, the Paramhamsa and the lowest of the fools, those are Murtamo and those are Paramgata, right? They are happy. Ta Ubho Sukham Edhete. Klishyate antarito jana, the intermediate people, they suffer. Right? But one should not think that the Murtamo and the Paramhamsa are the same happiness. The Murtamo have a very degraded standard of happiness. They have accepted the suffering to be happiness. That is Murtamo. So one should not put them in the, although it is said there is a sarcasm over there. You know, the so much better are those who realize that, you know, they are suffering. That's a one step ahead. One should not think, you know, that they are foolish people are better. No, they have accepted the suffering to be happiness. Right? So they are such murtamo people, accepting the suffering to be happiness. That is the sarcasm over there. That purpose is, the lowest of the fools do not understand material miseries. They pass their lives merrily and do not inquire into the misery of life. They are actually going into darkest region. They will be suffering much and much more. Right? Right? They are murtamo. So, but sarcastically they are called as being happy. Right? An example of hog is also given by Prabhupada over herein. Right? Prabhupada says the hog's life is degraded in its standard of happiness. Right? So a normal person can understand what a degraded happiness the hog is having. Text 18. Artha bhavam vinischitya pratitasya abhinatmana tam chapi yushamacharana sevayaham sevayaham paranude.
But my dear sir, I am obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance, although it appears real. I am confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false ideas.
Okay. Arth abhavam, without substance. Arth ka abhav, abhav means without. So there is no factual substance in the suffering of the living entity. Right? Therefore, he is saying, prati tasyapi natmana. Although it appears to be real, there is no factual substantial cause of one's suffering. The suffering can be mitigated, right? As soon as one takes up the process, right? One is suffering for millions and millions of lifetime. Just by executing the process of devotional service, one lifetime, sincerely one can overcome. Right? So how unfactual the suffering are. Right? You understand that it can just be, as soon as one is connected with the Lord, it just disappears, all the suffering. And then one realizes that he had been in like a big nightmare, you know, which only a person when wakes up, he realizes that he has been suffering without any factual cause. Right? He's been unnecessarily suffering. A person, when he comes out, only he can get the realization. If you tell the person who is actually suffering, you tell you are not factually suffering, he can't relate to it. You understand the point? So this point is the realization of those who come out of it and not the realization of those who are into it. This is the difference. Right? This is like Prabhuji shared that in the cinema hall, right? You first make everything dark. You know, first you simulate the material world. Welcome to the material world. Then various, right? And then the experience of happiness and suffering, which are not factual, right? That, right? So probably those, if everyone is crying, then who will console others? If everyone is rejoicing, who will tell that is not factual? The person who is outside of it. Right? So if the whole people are started rejoicing inside only, then the person from outside has to come and said, come out, you know, show is over, get out, you know. If they start throwing a party, you know, after the, you know, they want to have a party for another 2 hours after seeing the movie, you know, the person from outside of it have to ask them to quit, right? And tell them it's not factual. So therefore, when a person comes out of it, he realizes that it's all insubstantial. But the person going through it can't get that realization because he's so involved in it. Right? So therefore, understand from which perspective this realization is given. So therefore, he's saying, yes, there is no earth to it. There is no fact to the suffering. That realization will dawn when one wakes up, when one realizes one's true position. Prabhupada says, by serving the feet of great transcendental like Maitreya Muni and by constantly associating with them, one is unable to give up the false idea that the soul suffers from material pain. As Prabhupada says, when you wake up, then you realize that all has been a nightmare. Right? But that will be on waking up. 19. Yat sevaya bhagavata kutasthasya madhuddisha Rati raso bhavetivra padayor vasanardana.
By serving the feet of a spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses.
Okay, so again, here the best way to come out of this ocean of material illusion, right? This is like a huge darkness in which we are entrapped, is to actually serve the lotus feet of spiritual master. That began with the last verse. So 18 and 19 talk about that. So Vidura is saying, by serving your lotus feet, I'll be able to give up all false ideas. Right? So I just want to briefly discuss about this serving and Shravanam dichotomy. You know, sometimes it is really seems to be conflicting. Right? Like we are talking serving the lotus feet of spiritual master. And one understanding of that service is to hear from spiritual master. Right? You know, the disciple, you know, that who the spiritual master is coming and, you know, he became so busy in trying to organize things that he failed to hear from the spiritual master. Right? This is one of the places where Prabhupada had gone. So Prabhupada was not at all pleased. He said the best service is to hear from spiritual master. Right? But then other times, there was one disciple who came to Prabhupada and then he started glorifying Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, engage in some practical service. You know, he started reciting some verses from, you know, from Bhagavatam, glorifying spiritual master. So Prabhupada said, engage in some practical service. Make sure that he is properly engaged. You know, Prabhupada asked him to engage in. So sometimes, so therefore, there is always this Shravanam and Sevanam dichotomy. You know, what is the position? So just want to briefly discuss it, because number of times this also comes, you know, by the service and the hearing, Shravanam and Sevanam. What is more important? What is the relationship to each? Sometimes people say, you know, no, service has come, you'll keep hearing or do some service also. Right? As this argument comes, right? Other times we hear that to hear from the spiritual master is the best service. Right? So therefore, basically, what is the definition of service? What is the definition of service? To please the spiritual master. Assist spiritual master. Okay, right. So basically, if you see, the definition of service is very simple. Service is activities for the pleasure of Krishna. Right? That is service that we perform. Basically, devotional service, the service and the prem, you know, Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Prema Naam. Basically, the prem or the service. See, love and service can't be separated. Therefore, Prabhupada used the term loving service. What we say, right? So, therefore, that is activities performed for Krishna's pleasure. Is the definition of service. So, therefore, the service has two divisions. One is the service on a Bhagavat Vidhi, which is hearing and chanting. It is, so when that service is, when now when we are hearing and chanting, our sole motive is not, actually it may not be giving Krishna's pleasure. We may be our own mental and intellectual platform. Our hearing and chanting is not fully pure that it gives Krishna's pleasure. It may be on our mental platform, often, right? So those who can purely hear and chant on the Bhagavad Vidhi, so therefore sometimes you say, you know, come on, you know, you will keep hearing or do some practical service also. By doing some practical service, we deepen our absorption in hearing and chanting. See, to the degree we are absorbed in Krishna's hearing and chanting, to that degree Krishna gets a pleasure. But our hearing and chanting is not that deep, doesn't have that deep absorption. Right? So therefore, practical service helps us to deepen the absorption. Therefore, that point is also a valid point. Right? When we engage in practical service. Another service is actually, now what is practical service? Simply running around is not practical service. Practical service is on one side, the again, twofold we'll discuss. First, the first definition of service is, as I said, service is what pleases the senses of Krishna. Hearing and chanting in absorbed fashion pleases Krishna. That is the service. Then another service is service to the deity form, the Pancharatrika Vidhi. That is also service. Service to the deity form of the Lord. So that is one practical service we do. Right? So there are so many services connected with the deities of the Lord. Right? We deity worship directly. And Prabhupada says at one point, worshipping the deity, cleaning the temple are the same. The service is absolutely same. But because both are giving same pleasure to the Lord. Someone is doing the aarti, someone is cleaning the temple. If the motive is to please the Lord, right, if the same motive is there, then it pleases the Lord equally. So both are the same services. Okay, so two divisions of services we discussed, Shravanam Kirtanam is one division, other is serving the Archavigra of the Lord, right, which is also very elaborate different services. Then that service expands further, one step ahead. Facilitating other Shravanam Kirtanam and facilitating other services to the deity. Just like backup person, what he is doing? Facilitating the pujari, doing the arati. What is the preaching when we talk of, you know, so many different people? Facilitate others' people hearing chanting. So their facilitation of that is also very pleasing to Krishna, which Krishna expresses himself. Right? So therefore, many, many practical services come so that others hearing chanting and other service to deity can be facilitated. That expands the panorama of services like anything. When you have to facilitate others hearing chanting, then you have to think of so many ways. Decorate the temple. You know, what analogy should I speak? Whatever, you know. Or how will they be able to appreciate the kirtan of the Lord? Play the instruments. And then they should have a... How they can appreciate, how will they come have a nice prasadam, advertised prasadam feast. Then for prasadam cooking, there has to be a big kitchen, vessel washing, you know. So we say, someone is washing vessel, you know, how is those? Then it becomes remote, you know. Then we are not able to see the connection sometimes. But we have to see that service means ultimately activities pleasing to Krishna. That is the definition of service. So therefore, hearing chanting, archana vidhi. And then facilitation of others people hearing chanting and others people servicing further keep expanding the amount of practical services like anything. But the connection is there. Right? So therefore, yes. No, the both. Archana vidhi also. Hearing chanting, the main service of hearing chanting is the Bhagavad vidhi. It's worshipping the deities. So that also there are so many services in that, you know, all the backup services, basically archana vidhi only, right, facilitating the pujari services. So the facilitation of these services for others, you know, expand the services, and there is no limit to that expansion. So many projects, you know, people come here, come and do yoga, you know, and get connected to Krishna also, you know, in a remote way. Somewhere appreciate Krishna, you know, in the yoga session there are kirtans, there are some kathas, right? So gradually, whoever can be brought, some are more directly connected, some are given a remote connection first, right? And then gradually become directly connected. So therefore, it expands, right? So therefore, one should understand by service to the deity and by facilitation of others people hearing chanting and service to deities, our own service to the Lord and our own hearing chanting will deepen, which is otherwise not, which is otherwise superficial. Right? Our direct service should continue. See, while we facilitate other service, what realization we have, we are not serving. What potency is there if we say, you know, one should hear and chant of Krishna and I am not able to chant my rounds. What inspiration I will be able to give others. Right? So one's own direct service to the Lord while it is continuing, one helps others people facilitate their hearing, chanting and service to deity. Right? So this is in regard to Shravanam Kirtanam and the Sevana, you know, whatever, the service aspect of it, which comes often in discussion. Okay, which verse we are? Yeah, so text 19. Right? So serving the feet of the spiritual master is serving his instruction. Serving him meanly, right? And if you see, all that service will be connected. Either the spiritual master will give instruction to directly engage in Shravanam Kirtan, directly engage in the Archanam Vidhi, or to facilitate others people. There is no service which is beyond this. Can you think of any service which is beyond these two paths? Want to say something? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. No, Krishna says that one who connects others is most dear to me. Right? But then we have to understand that they are not two separately. When we are serving Krishna with absorption, it is also simultaneously inspiring others. So the two should not be seen One has to see the harmony between all the things. So the two are not disconnected. There are people who may not go outwardly preaching, but their own example may be such brilliant that so many people may be inspired. Right? So both are related. But at the same time, we go out and, you know, give out the pamphlets, put the invitations, come and, you know, do so many other things. So therefore, those who are the spiritual master, the other advanced devotees, they guide us how we, you know, while continuing our service, how we facilitate others also. Right? So therefore, both are hand in hand. Both are not disconnected. But still a balance has to be there. One has to continue one's direct service. One should not, you know, because sometimes we have to go a little remote from our service to connect people. Right? Sometimes we have to take some risk also of being, you know, contaminated by the material energy. Certain risks are also involved. So therefore, one's own personal service should or remain one's nourishment should continue, and at the same time, under the expert guidance, you know, one tries to connect others also. Right? So that needs, the balance always needs good guidance. Otherwise, we tend to go on extreme by our own inherent nature. Right? So to keep ourselves balanced, we should always have some continuous guidance. Fine. So we go to text 20. Durapahi alpatapasa, seva vaikuntha vartmasu, yatropagiyate nityam, deva devo janardana.
Person whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotee who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living entities.
Okay, this is also a very important verse. Vidurji is speaking. He is saying that, first of all, he is establishing that the best way one can overcome all the miseries and the best way to achieve attraction for the Supreme Lord, which is indicated in text 19. The two points are made. Rati raso bhavet, one will achieve attachment to the Lord, and vasan ardhana, one will be free from all the distresses and hankering. As I said, one is detaching oneself from miseries, other is nourishment by the Lord, which is rati raso. These two things will happen by the mercy of spiritual master, by serving under his guidance, right? By following his instructions. So now Vidurji is saying, but those who have alpatapasa, they can hardly achieve this service of the lotus feet of the devotees. Right? Personal authority is meager, can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees. Right? So, but one should understand, not by simply by tapasa one can achieve association, but a person who has done Prabhupada's favorable austerity, right? Some kind of devotional tapasya, he is able to take advantage of the devotee's association. Right? So the devotees, they speak, right? They travel around. But those who are relatively free from the sin because of their tapasya, right? They are able to take advantage of the association. Those who have others are not able to take advantage, right? There are so many people who just neglect, unable to take advantage. Others are able to take advantage, right? So either probably they are free from sin, or they somehow, you know, perform some favorable austerity and they get connected. Favorable tapasya, some service, as we call a gya sukriti. Someone may help a devotee in some way or the other. And then his devotional life and association of pure devotee may begin like that. Text 21. Shishtvagre mahadadini. Okay, so now this ends the third section, where Vidurji is kind of presenting his understanding of what Maitreya has spoken. Right? Right? He's presented his understanding and he congratulates, you know, I understood all this from your. And his understanding, you see, Vidurji is even more, you know, like giving us a, you know, synopsis in a more beautiful way. Right? So that's how it is, you know. So we can, now the fourth section, 21 to 38, Vidurji further inquires. Right? So now that the position of the soul and the super soul in regard to material existence has been cleared and he also summarized his understanding, now he asks further 18 questions from 21 to 38, right? Which have a close resemblance to Parikshit Maharaj's question in 2.8. So we can just read the question. This is a question one after another. Right? So if you see in your Bhagavad Subodhini, where all these questions are answered, you know, practically throughout the Bhagatam, these 18 questions, the answer will be different places, different cantos. That is there given in the Bhagatam Subodhani also. So we can just go through the questions because the detailed answers will follow. Right? Prabhupada also doesn't give much purpose. Very brief purpose Prabhupada gives to these 18 verses. So someone can just start reading the translations.
Text 21. After creating the total material energy, the Mahatattva, and thereby manifesting the gigantic universal form with senses and sense organs, the Supreme Lord entered within it. 22. The Purusha incarnation lying on the causal ocean is called the original Purusha, is the material creation, and in his Virat form, in whom all the planets and their inhabitants live, he has many thousands of legs and hands. 23. O great Brahmana, you have told me that the gigantic form, gigantic Virat form, and his senses, sense object, and 10 kinds of the life air exist with 3 kinds of life vigor. Now, if you will kindly explain to me the different powers of the specific divisions. 24.
Okay, so this is you studied in the last chapter that how the self has these 3 energies, 3 divisions, 1, 10, and 3. Right? 1, 10 and 3. So the soul's energy is perceived in the consciousness, in the life here, and in the 3 levels of existence as we discussed, you know, that adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika. So that is the soul energy is perceived like that. Fine, go ahead. Then he asks now, kindly explain to me the different powers of the specific division. Okay.
O my Lord, I think that the prowess manifest in the forms of sons, grandsons, family members has spread all over the universes in different varieties and species. O learned Brahmana, please describe how the leader of all the demigods, namely Prajapati, Brahma, decided to establish the various Manus, the heads of the ages. Please describe the Manus also. And please describe the descendants of those Manus.
Okay, so in 23rd, 24, so 21, 22 was the background. The question was asked in 23rd. So 23rd, 24th, he is basically asking about the Lord's Vibhutis. He has invested various powers with various entities have been invested with various powers. Okay, so please describe the specific powers of the specific division of the, you know, of your creation, including the living entities, right? So that is the 23rd, 24th is the kind of one kind of question. Then now in 25th he is talking about describe about the various Manus, right? Which is the part of the Visarga, right? The all the living entities are coming from Manu, right? So the activity of the Sambhu Manu, the first Manu, will be described in great detail, right? Go ahead.
O son of Mitra, kindly describe how the planets are situated above the earth as well as underneath it. And also please mention their measurements as well as that of the earthly planets.
Okay, so this will be a subject matter of great discussion in 5th canto. The situation of the different planets, their measurements, etc. All that will be discussed. Okay, go ahead.
Also please describe the living beings under different classifications. Subhumans, humans, those born of embryo, those born of perspiration, those who are twice born,
birds and the planets, plants and vegetables. Kindly describe their generations and subdivisions also.
Okay, so different living entities, different conditions, different births, all that he's asking.
Please also describe the incarnations of the material modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. And please describe the incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead and his magnanimous activities.
Okay. Guna avataras, Leela avataras, yes. Yeah, so it there could be repetition, there is no... Yeah. Okay, fine, go ahead.
Oh great sage, kindly describe the divisions and orders of human society in terms of symptoms, behavior and the characteristics of mental equilibrium and sense control. Also, please describe the birth of the great sages and the categorical division of the Vedas. Please also describe the expansions of different sacrifices and the path of mystic powers, analytical study of knowledge and devotional service, all with their respective regulations.
Right, so different paths also, yoga, sankhya, right, etc.
Please also describe the imperfections and contradictions of the faithless atheist, the situation of crossbreeding and the movements of the living entities in various species of life according to their particular mode of nature and work.
Okay, so he's saying Pashand Path Vaishamyam Pratiloman Niveshanam. Pashand with atheistic, all the atheistic theories have imperfection and contradiction. And all false theories will have self-contradictions. All acharyas have pointed out. So therefore, please describe all the imperfection and contradictions of Pashand atheistic theories, he's saying. Right? And then crossbreeding, Prabhupada explained crossbreeding over here, that the combination of living entities in different modes of material nature is called crossbreeding. Okay, go ahead.
You may also describe the non-contradictory cause of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, salvation and also different means of livelihood and different processes of law and order as mentioned in the revealed scriptures.
Go ahead.
Please also explain the regulations for offering respects to the forefathers, the creation of the Pitraloka, the time schedule in the planets, stars and luminaries and their respective situations.
Go ahead.
Please also describe the fruitive results of charity and penance and of digging a reservoir of water. Please describe the situation of persons who are away from home and also the duty of man in an awkward position. O sinless one, because the personality of Godhead, the controller of all living entity, is the father of all religion and all those who are candidates for religious activities, kindly describe how he can be completely satisfied.
Okay, so last verse is asked about various fruitive activities, charities, pious activities, what is their position? Some people consider that to be supreme. What is that? Right? So describe about that also. Emergency situation, what should a person can do in an awkward position? Right? There is a varnashrama, there is an emergency varnashrama described, what can be allowed. Right? So all that things will be described in detail. Right? And then he's saying, the Lord is the father and control of all living entities. Describe how he can be satisfied. Right? So those who are candidates for religion, how they can satisfy the Supreme Lord. Yenva Bhagavam Tushed. So basically, he is asking about Bhagavad Dharma. Describe all the activities which will directly satisfy the Supreme Lord also. Right? Which is like a Bhagavad Dharma. Fine.
Who best among the Brahmanas? Those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They are always kind to their followers, disciples and sons. And without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge.
Okay, So this is also an interesting verse. That the spiritual master, they are very kind to the needy. Guruvo Deen Vatsala. So he's saying that I have asked question, but there may be certain important subject matter which I need to hear, that also you should describe. Whatever asked and whatever I missed, but which is important. Right? So, even Sanatana Goswami tells the same thing to the Lord. Bhalamand ki chuami puchite na jani, kripa kari dina dekhi kahiba apani. And he said, actually I don't know, you know, what is good and what is bad for me. I don't have perfect knowledge of that. Kripa kari dina dekhi. And here also dina vatsala is used word. Seeing me to be poor, you know, even in inquiry, I don't even know perfectly know how to inquire. Please speak everything for my benefit. What I have inquired and what I have not. Parikshit Maharaj also say the same thing. Which, you remember the verse? No, anyone remember the verse? Parikshit Maharaj say the same thing. What I have may missed asking? Okay, so that's question comes. Another reference there, Pradyumna Mishra tells the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he inquires. Right? So I don't remember the exact verse, but there is a verse to this effect. That tell me everything which I need to hear, although I may not have inquired that. Fine, so we go to text 37.
Please describe how many dissolutions there are for the elements of material nature, and who survives after a dissolution to serve the Lord while he is asleep.
Okay, so he asked about the dissolution, and Prabhupada says in the second or third paragraph, after the dissolution of the material manifestations, the Lord and his kingdom beyond the causal ocean do not disappear, nor do the inhabitants the Lord associates. The associates of the Lord are far more numerous than the living entities who have forgotten the Lord due to material association. Right? The impersonalistic explanation of the word aham in the four verses of the original Bhagatam, aham evasam evagre, is refuted here. Right? Text 38.
What are the truths regarding the living entities and the supreme personality of Godhead? What are their identities? What are the specific values in the knowledge in the Vedas? And what are the necessities for the spiritual master and his disciples?
Okay, there's a last question. 23 to 38. Right, and Prabhupada says, yeah, 38 is up to 38 is the last question of Vidura. Right. 39
also?
Yeah, 39 is also. But it's your Bhagavad Subodhini says 23 to 38. Right? But, okay, we'll just read through. Yeah, so Prabhupada here says in the 38th purport, to disseminate transcendental knowledge, one must retire from mundane activities on the strength of enlightenment in knowledge in terms of Vedic wisdom. That is the sum and substance of all questions in this verse. What are the specific values in the knowledge of the Vedas, and what are the necessities for the spiritual master and disciples? Okay, so basically, he's asking about the question is about the dissemination of transcendental knowledge. Right? What specific knowledge of the Vedas is important for to be disseminated? What is the qualification of spiritual master and disciple? All that is the question of 38. Okay, read 39.
Spotless
devotee. Okay, let's recite these last few verses. 39 to 42, the four last verses, which is section of Vidura declaring his confidence in Maitreya. Nimittani cha tasyeha Proktani anagashuribhi Sato jnanam kutapumsam Bhaktir Vairagyam Evava.
Bhaktir Vairagyam Evava. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees?
Okay, so he's now, this is not a question, but this is his confidence in Maitreya. That he's saying that that this knowledge can be achieved only from the spotless devotees, not otherwise. So he's saying that only you can impart this knowledge. A person who is anagashuri bhi. So Prabhupada talks about that term, Anagashuri Bhi. Who is a Shuri? Shuri is a learned scholar. That Prabhupada talks in the second paragraph. The Suris are great scholars, but they may not always be Anagh or spotless. Right? So therefore, the Anagashuri is one who is a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? Because no one can be completely free from sin without rendering devotional service to the Lord. Right? When Yamdutas were asked question, whom all you bring? He said, we bring all fruity workers. He said, they made an interesting point. He said, anyone who perform karma, right? Anyone who is acting with his material mind and senses, pious or impious, we bring everyone. Because no one can avoid sin. In this world, someone say, you know, like people say, you know, we don't act impiously. Sir, no, that is not possible. This material world, everyone will be forced to act in a sinful way. Someone may be more sinful, someone may be less sinful. No one can avoid sin in this material world. That's the nature. Right? Yamdutas says, anyone who is acting, doing any fruitive activity, any pious or sinful, whatever, any activity is performing, we bring them all. Right? No, there is no exception like that. Right? That's the answer they give. Prabhupada nicely explains that no one can be free from sin. No one can say, I can only act piously. I will not act impiously. That is not possible. Therefore, only those who render devotional service by the Lord's mercy, they become sinless. Right? Because the Supreme Lord is never touched by sin. Right? So they can be anagashuris. Those who they know because of being free from all sins, they are the best. They can see the right path very clearly. Right? They are the right people to guide. Right? So Prabhupada says, Prabhupada gives the example of Rup Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They are Anagasuris, right? Free from all sins and great scholars. On the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have compiled many scriptures to guide the living entity, right? On this path of devotional service. Text 40. Etan me prichata prashnan. Hare karma vivitsaya.
Hare karma vivitsaya.
Bruhi me yasya mitratvan.
My dear sage, I have put all this question before you with a view to knowing the pastimes of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Lord of Godhead. You are the friend of all, so kindly describe them for all those who have lost their vision.
Okay, so he requests him to. And if you see, one should not think that simply Vidura would inquire in a mood that, you know, please describe for all the poor living entities. When a person inquires, he should consider himself to be one among all the poor living entities. Right? So therefore Vidura's inquiry has a mood that I do not have a clear vision, Nashta Chakshusha, you know, because of long association with politics, diplomacy, Duryodhan and party, you know, I have no clear spiritual vision. In that mood inquires. Right? But their inquiries in that mood benefits one and all. So there was one reporter who asked Prabhupada a question. Prabhupada, you know, she asked him certain question. Please describe your mission over here. Please describe about your activities. And she said, actually, I know all of this because I'm connected. There was a kind of devotee reporter. She was having a bead bag, you know, on her shoulders. And she had just come in contact with the devotees 3-4 months. So she knew something in 3-4 months, a person also. So she said, Prabhupada, you know, I know all of this, but I am inquiring so that others may be benefited. Right? And the devotee said, Prabhupada didn't appreciate that question at all. And one should not inquire, you know, that I already know the answers, but for, you know, others, you know, for itarajan, for the common people may, you know, be benefited, I am inquiring. That is not the right mood of inquiry. One should place himself that I don't have a clear vision, right, for once. So in that mood one inquires, other also benefited. Right? So therefore, he Vidurji's mood is not simply that others may be benefited, but he wants to benefit himself. Right? And that's how others will be benefited. 41. Sarve Vedascha Yajnascha Tapodanani Chanaka Jivabhya Pradhanasya Na Kurviran Kalamapi.
O spotless one, your answers to all these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. Such charity is greater than all Vedic charities, sacrifices, penance, etc.
Read that purport.
The highest perfectional work of charity is to give people in general immunity from the anxieties of material existence. This can be done only by performing activities in devotional service to the Lord. Such knowledge is incomparable. Cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedas, performance of sacrifice and distribution of munificent charities altogether cannot form even a part of an immunity from the pangs of material existence that is gained from devotional service. The charity of Maitreya not only will help Vidura, but due to its universal nature will deliver all others in all times. Thus Maitreya is immortal.
Right, so again we understand that how the best charity is the charity if one can give someone freedom from the pangs of material existence. Right? That is the best aspect of the Vedic knowledge, that is the best yajna, that is the best tapa, that is the best charity. And Prabhupada would often say toward the end of his sojourn in this world, Kirti yasya sa jivati. One who gives this, he becomes immortal through his kirti, through his fame. So those who give this charity, they always live. So therefore Prabhupada, he says, thus Maitreya is immortal. Right? Kirti yasya sa jivati. One who has immortal fame of giving this charity, he continues to live. Text 42. Shishuka uvacha.
Shishuka uvacha.
Saittama prishta purana kalpa. Kuru pradhanena muni pradhana. Pravidharsho bhagavat kathayam. Sanchoditastam prahasan ivaha.
Sri Sukhdev Goswami said, thus the chief of the sages, who was always enthusiastic about describing topics regarding the personality of Godhead, began to narrate the descriptive explanation of the Puranas being so infused by Vidura. He was very much enlivened by speaking on the transcendental activities of the Lord.
Okay, so even these activities of the Lord given in the Puranas, which are in relation to this material manifestation, right? They are also very important, right? That we have been discussing. And Maitreya enthusiastically speaks about these activities. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nithai Gaur Premanande.